Morning. It is good to welcome you to the 9:30 Connect service. I wanted to share with you a brief pastoral word before the sermon today. I will be preaching on Pentecost, and this we'll be reading the account from the book of Acts about the Pentecost story. But I wanted to share with you just some words about last Sunday, just a few pastoral reflections, if you'll give me just a moment to reflect with you. I first of all wanted to, it was important to some of our congregation that had asked if a mailing they received just prior to the church conference came from the church office, and I just wanted to clarify that this mailing did not come from our church office. It was not from our staff or any of our elected church committees, just to clarify that information for you and for our congregation. I did want to share with you some of the results of the church conference, and I know a lot of people are asking, what does this mean? Well, as you probably know by now, that the two motions that were placed before the church conference, they both passed, but they did not pass with the overwhelming majority that we would need to go forward with a building campaign and to go forward. So the master plan is on pause as a result. And so having had the church conference, we now know the vote and we know some direction from the church conference. And what I would invite our congregation to do, sometimes things go in a way that either we don't expect or not as planned, or we look to the possibility that the Lord is leading us to do something either different or something that we haven't thought of before. And so the results of the church conference lead us to a place of asking that question, what does the Lord want of us? And it could very well be, as I've experienced in my walk with God, and many of you have as well, that often when you find yourself maybe in a situation that you did not plan, those are the very moments that God reveals himself and his plans. So that would be my hope for our congregation. You know, the vote had people with different opinions. It's very obvious that the vote reflected different opinions. And we were voting on a master plan. And it's understandable to me that there might be different opinions about a master plan. It might be that different opinions because of finances, or it could be some of the issues with taste involving the master plan, or maybe some other reasons. But what I do believe is that with us not giving the master plan the convincing majority vote it needed to go forward, that doesn't mean that our congregation is not united behind what is most important for us. That a master plan reflects different opinions. But a stronger need in the church is that we fulfill our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And as God gives us fresh insight as to what we do next. And I hope you'll join with me in prayer that we will seek the Lord's guidance in what to do next. What I'm sharing is, I don't think it could very well be that we're still in a very pivotal place in our church journey. That we are going to double down on making disciples. That we are going to move where God is leading us to move. We're going to be more open to that. And that we're experiencing things today in a different way than maybe a few weeks ago, but that can be a very good thing in God's leading. So I would invite our congregation, and I do believe that our congregation is 100% behind making disciples of Jesus Christ. And that is what we're here to proclaim every time we're together. I trust that the Lord will give wisdom on how we proceed with everything else as we double down on making disciples of Jesus Christ. I do ask also that we be respectful of everyone in the congregation. You know, if I asked you today, where do you want to have lunch? I'd get endless answers. But if I related to you and just said, I want to walk with you with Christ, we could agree on that. We might not could agree on lunch. So I just want to invite our congregation to respect everyone, to honor everyone, and to, most of all, turn to the Lord and make this clearer than it's ever been before in our history, that we're going to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. There is a lot of good ministry in our church. There's a lot of vibrancy. You've heard stories of Vacation Bible School already. There are things going on every week that this church does to make a difference in making disciples. Let's just get behind that and let's give it our all. And let it be said in a few weeks, a few months, a few years, that this church is very committed to making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I'd like to offer a prayer at this time. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to serve in your church. We recognize that there's a lot of challenges outside of the church, that there's a world that needs Jesus. And so today, we pray that in humility, in seeking your wisdom, in seeking your Holy Spirit, that we would seek to be the answer to what the world is looking for in offering Jesus Christ. We thank you for our church. We pray your blessings upon every member. We pray for clarity as we move forward. And we do pray that we will be fruitful in making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that we will add through to your vineyard through the Shalimar United Methodist Church. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I want to read for us the first account of Pentecost, the first time the church became the church. It's part of our story. It tells us who we are. It tells what we're to be in Jesus Christ. And I do ask for your prayers this morning because some of this reading has the names of so many countries and so many nations. I'm going off memory here. I hope I called them right. But if you have your Bibles with you, I pray that you will turn to Acts and read along with me. I'll be reading from the New International Version. If you have it on your phone, please just access your website that you have or your app. Hear this word from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit just before his ascension. Then if you'll turn to chapter 2, this describes the actual day of Pentecost, beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? This is how it is that each of us hears them in our native language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?'" Good question for us today. What does this mean? "Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" There's always those people, aren't there? And then, moving toward the end of the chapter, after a sermon by Peter, this is how the early church was actually born and the first signs identified with the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If time allowed, I would read yet another text today. I would go back to Genesis and read about the Tower of Babel, because Pentecost and the Tower of Babel are the antithesis of each other. They tell two different stories. And so the first story, the one from the Tower of Babel, and some say the Tower of Babel, and that's where the term babbling comes along, that this is a story of confusion. This is the story that tells the human condition. It is the story, just like Adam and Eve eating of the forbidden fruit. Their pride, their hubris got in the way. And here again, in chapter 11, isn't that appropriate, chapter 11? That the people, that they got together and they decided to build a tower all the way to heaven, as if they could be as God if they did this. Well, the result was the Lord confused their voices and they scattered across the face of the earth. And this is Genesis' story of how there became so many different people and so many different allegiances because of the Tower of Babel. They scattered, their voices were confused, there was chaos. In Pentecost, on the other hand, you have a different story. Different languages being spoken, different people, but instead there's unity, there's clarity, there's great understanding. So my question to us today is, which one do we seek to aspire to? Because We know that the world has great confusion. We know that there's chaos. Do we seek to contribute to the chaos and the confusion? Or do we seek to live into that Pentecost story, clarity and understanding, unity in the Holy Spirit? It's two entirely different outcomes from these stories. But it's a story for us to hear today, church, that we are to aspire to be more like the Pentecost church, the one in which God gives us clarity. God gives us that one voice, that unity that only His Holy Spirit can bring. And that's where I'd like to begin today. And you're saying, I thought you'd already began this message. You're scared when I use the word like begin 10 minutes into it. But the first mark of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit came. And the title of this message is Come, Holy Spirit, Come. That's been before you. And I hope that is our prayer. That is my prayer. Maybe someone here personally, you're going through something, and that's the prayer that can make a difference today on this Pentecost Sunday. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Show me the way. Bring unity in my life. Heal me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. That is a prayer for our church right now. On this Pentecost Sunday, that we would pray, not just once or twice, but it would be a continual prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Would you say that with me? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. The Holy Spirit did some amazing things in the early church, and one of the people that was used was Peter. The same Peter that could lose his temper, the same Peter that was so far from perfect that Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of God went right over his head or were very short-lived and not received, the same Peter somehow became transformed through the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And he became that rock that Jesus said he would be. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter, the same Peter, God used in a mighty way. The Holy Spirit came, and the environment changed dramatically. Let that be our prayer today on this Pentecost Sunday. Come, Holy Spirit, come. The second reason the Pentecost is so important to us is it is the birth of the church. It really tells our story as a church as to who we are. And churches, you know, we can get caught up in secondary kind of issues that do some good. But we need not miss our main purpose of being the church. And this Pentecost story reminds us of our main purpose of being the church. In this teaching, after Peter's sermon, people were cut to the heart because of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, a spoken word needs the Holy Spirit to cut to the heart. A spoken word is just a spoken word. But on this day, the Holy Spirit came and people were cut to the heart and they were moved, they were baptized, they repented, they asked for forgiveness. And about 3,000 were saved on that day. Amazing. And the marks of what happened as the early church organized were these. They were in prayer together. Prayer is a mark of the church. We are at our best when we are in prayer. I believe prayer is growing through the life of Shalimar United Methodist Church. And that is a great thing. Prayer is central. It's always been central to the church. Think about the greatest moment in your life in the church. I'm thinking some of those moments involve someone praying with you or you were praying for someone. Those are great moments. It was true then. It's true now. Prayer in the church. At 12:30 today, we'll have the first of healing services. We're going to claim the promise of the book of James. Those who are sick, let them come to the church and let the elders anoint their head with oil and pray for them. And we're going to do that today with those that have need, whatever, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional, to just have a time of healing. The early church, they were about prayer. They were about teaching. This relationship with teaching was huge in the early church. The apostles, they taught the scriptures. They taught the word of God. They taught Jesus. They taught the resurrection. And it made the early church focused on the teachings of God. And that's still true today. That in our very best state, the church, we teach the scriptures. We lift them up before our people. We reflect on these scriptures. We learn from them. We memorize them. We build everything around these teachings of God's word. It was true then. It's true now. They had fellowship together. They had fellowship together. You know, this may surprise some people, but all these church dinners, all these scones, all these cups of coffee around here, they actually have a biblical purpose. Isn't that right, Hayward? Hayward's here today. It was true then and it's true now, because when people break bread together, when they share together, they form a relationship together. And this was known in the Greek as koinonia, which is a deeper fellowship, not superficial. Not one in which it's around likes or dislikes, but one in which there's a deeper relationship where you move beyond just the superficial. And this is what made the early church great, and it makes the church great today. This deep fellowship, this koinonia. So we see signs here that we need to duplicate. We see a blueprint here. Prayer, the teaching, the fellowship. And in that kind of environment, God's signs and wonders begin to happen. And that leads us to continuing on this book of Acts. And I would like to just stand here and keep preaching today, but I'm going to have to come to a conclusion. I did want to share one sign and wonder from the book of Acts. There was a man who was crippled, and he couldn't walk. He had been sitting there asking for silver and gold for some time. And he begged, silver and gold, asking for a handout. And Peter said to this man, this crippled man, silver and gold have I none, but what I have to offer you is Jesus Christ. That's what I have to offer you. This silver and gold cannot help you. And it was amazing that it was this story, when this man stood up and jumped up in joy, that it created the controversy around people that knew him as this beggar who was not able to walk. And it began to bring attention to the apostles and what they were doing. And it was amazing. It was this sign and wonder that started changing the world. And God can bring those signs and wonders to us today. It may not be that we're crippled physically, but we're crippled spiritually or emotionally. And God can help us through the power of Jesus Christ to get up and live our life of joy that He wanted us to live. We can get up, and it'll create a witness for Jesus Christ. One more word. You're worried about this sermon because I keep saying things I don't normally say. One more word today, though, is later on in the book of Acts, there was something very compelling about this Christian community. It was compelling in that people could not deny how much love they had for each other. You can argue theology. You can argue even signs and wonders. But you cannot argue people loving one another. It's apparent. And that's what they said about the early church. See these people that turn the world upside down. See how they love each other. And friends, we live in a world where there's chaos and confusion. We do not need to add to that chaos and confusion, do we? We need to be clear that we are here to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and that we are committed to his love and loving each other, even to be a witness to the world. I say it again, and I ask you to pray it again. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We need your help. We need the Lord to fill us with his Holy Spirit yet again. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the promise of your Holy Spirit to all who would receive your Spirit. Help us to empty ourselves. Help us to push aside any pride that prevents us from welcoming you, to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to proclaim the name Jesus Christ, to be your disciple, to be your church, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.